sort of multitasking this morning. I'm going to be with the littles, and Caitlin and Sean are going to be with the bigs. And in Radiant Kids language, that's preschool and then early primary grades, K through 3, down to about 2. And then we do have, like Ben mentioned, the nursery this morning, and that's awesome. And we are still looking for someone to coordinate. We've been blessed with the Logue stepping up. Yeah, exactly. Yes, with the older kids, the littles and the bigs, and we're still looking for someone to just kind of coordinate the nursery. And I tell you, we have volunteers. They just need to be coordinated, and so it's not a huge deal, but it's also a huge deal, if you know what I mean. That's the commercial, and then I'm going to be out there during the time when we get to celebrate Lauren and Virginia and their family and what they've meant to Radiant. So since I'm going to be out there, I'm going to say it now. I'm going to force this on you while I'm supposed to be making announcements. Sorry that I'm not sorry. I've been thinking about this a lot, and Lauren made it clear. He's like, don't make it about us. Make it about God, you know, because that's what we're here to do, is put God on display by letting him get in us and then just letting that good nature come out of us. And, that's what disciple means, is to be a learner, to learn how that worship comes into us and then flows out of us. And that's the word that just sticks in my mind for Lauren and Virginia, that they didn't come all complete to Radiant. Neither did I. Just saying. They came more complete than I did, but they came as learners. And I've watched so much happen in their marriage as they learned to everything from get the house done and realize that there's life after the house, but learn to lead, learn how to teach a sermon without reading it. I mean, it's amazing what Lauren's been through. Learn how to be a couple together and embrace having kids. It's been beautiful. But that word learner just sticks with me. And I've seen it happen in their lives, and they've blessed this church as a result. So I'm going to miss the rest of it, but I do want to point out that there are others that are missing it just because they couldn't be here, either timing conflicts or everything else. So we do have an alternate way to celebrate, and you could share by text. This is 844-855-8502 is Radiant's official text message, receive and sometimes send. And if you send a text that starts with or includes the text moral, that's 2 R's and 2 L's, then it'll go to our text messaging service, and then we're going to try to compile a nice word cloud of all these adjectives that capture godlike qualities that we've seen in the morals. So you can do both. You can speak today and text it, and then we're going to probably send this out to the rest of the body, so that over the next week, and inevitably, you know, you're like, oh, why didn't I say? Well, just text it. Okay, so we got that going for you.
All right, and as the kids are moving off and doing that, I just want to give an introduction for what we're doing this afternoon. So if you're new here today, or maybe you've only been attending Radiant for a few weeks, you're probably getting the feeling right now that this isn't a normal Sunday. We typically have a sermon right about now, but what we're actually going to be having is something we hold very dear to our hearts at Radiant, is we don't simply want to proclaim the gospel through a sermon on a Sunday afternoon, but we want to live out the gospel 24/7. We hold that very dearly. That's why in our identity statement, we say that we are a family of missionary servants sent to go and make disciples. And so what we're doing right now, in a lot of ways, is celebrating the fact that one of our elders, who's been leading here for several years, has been faithful in living that out. We've been walking through the book of Hebrews, and just to give you a sneak peek, we're a couple weeks away from this passage, but it says in Hebrews 13:7, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And so what I love about today is we get to hear today about that. We get to see how God has been faithful through a family and how they've just been one part of this radiant family together with us. And this is the thing, is I've known Lauren and Virginia and their family, and this is what I want to say, and this will be my part. I won't, you know, say anything later on, but they've lived out and they've demonstrated that faith. In fact, my hope is for our church family is that if we can imitate their faith, they're not perfect, but it's obvious that God has been working through them, that if we can imitate that, how they lived as family, missionaries, servants, and disciples, that we're going to thrive together. We are going to be able to strive together. Missionary. The Morrill family has led us in demonstrating what that has looked like. Anything from throwing neighborhood block parties to inviting their neighbors into a neighborhood theater night when the theater was closed. I've crawled up on Lauren's neighbor's garage roof to put on snow breaks, and it was beautiful just to sit there and watch just the interactions happening before them and just knowing that the two of them have been reaching out and striving to see the gospel move forward into people who don't believe in Jesus. I've seen them live out family. This is so amazing to me because they never stood aloof as elders, as leaders of this church. They invited people into their lives. They welcome people into their home in many different ways. I'm sure they've lost property value because of the way they've invited people into their home, but not just even beyond their home, it's into their lives, into their personal space. I know there are many people here who can share that, who can say, yeah, I've been affected because they genuinely lived out what it looked like to be family. They lived out as servants. When you think about someone being a servant, it's when they're leveraging their assets, whatever that is, whether that's finances, their time, their calendar, whatever it is, to lift other people up and to lift Jesus up. And, you know, my funny personal story about that is I wouldn't have my Alaskan man card of getting a caribou except for the fact that Lauren leveraged his equipment, his time, and especially his patience in working with me. And I know there are several of you who have also been in that same boat, and Lauren has been very gracious that way. But at a much deeper level than that, I've seen them put that on display. They leveraged to see other people lifted up, not for their own sake, not for their own benefit, but for the sake of Jesus. And then discipleship. All the things I just mentioned above, it's been with the focus of leading people to Jesus. It's not simply that they were a good family that did good things, but they had a greater cause. They had a greater focus. They had a greater faith. We just walked through Hebrews 11 and all the major sections in that chapter. What do they say? They say, by faith, these people did these things. These weren't perfect people. They weren't Christian superstars, but they were people who rightly submitted their life and everything that they can to look to Jesus as the author and perfecter of their faith. And not to get people to look at them, to get people to look more at Jesus. And so in that way, this is what we're doing this afternoon. Again, Hebrews 13:7, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God, just like Lauren did for so many years. But then the second part of that verse is an instruction to us. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. That's what we're called to do. As we send them off into the next chapter, we want to take hold of what God has been doing in their life and to welcome that into our lives now as we move into this next season. So what we're going to do is I'm going to have Lauren and Virginia come up here. They're going to sit up here on this couch, and I'm going to ask them a couple questions, ask them to speak into our lives. But then after we're done with that, we're opening up the mic to all you guys. Rick's going to have a handheld mic. He's going to be passing it around. And if you haven't been a part of this before, we do this a couple times a year where we open up the mic and we just want people to speak words over these two in particular. But what we encourage is a verse, a prayer, scripture, something that could probably fit on a 3x5 card that we want to speak over them. So we're going to do that after they're done, and then we're going to bless them in prayer. So that's kind of where we're going with this. But all that said, Lauren and Virginia, it's awesome to be up here with you. Is it on? Let's
Yeah, there we go.
All right, good. All right, so the first question I want to ask you guys is for each of you, what are some of the most treasured moments you have of radiant life?
So for me, the first thing that comes to my mind is just seeing the gospel itself transform people's lives. And over the course of the last few years that I've been in this position, I got to see transformation happen. For us, probably the most intimate observation of that happened with the Kraskas. And that was so amazing to see them come in literally off the streets and hear the gospel. They weren't living on the streets. But they didn't have any real connection. And so they came in, heard the gospel, and it just spoke directly to where their life was at in the moment. And over the course of the next year and a half, first they got right with Jesus, and then they started getting right with each other. And we got to just see Jesus take front and center to where they're a married couple now, following him wholeheartedly. Examples like that of just when you see the gospel take root in people and it come to life, that's one of the first things that come to my mind. Also, just the open home mentality that Radiant has is awesome. It's been such a privilege to be able to do ministry with people that are like, yeah, I'll open my home. I'll be willing to take people in, even if for like the Coopers. They're like, I'll take some preteens in to live with me for I don't know how long. Seeing the Langdons constantly have people in, like, we didn't even know the ways, and the Langdons housed them, took them in for weeks. I'll just hear offhandedly about people living with the Langdons. Like, the hospitality scene in that. And then the Proctors and the Smiths taking kids in just to care for people in our community, to minister to moms and parents that are in a difficult place. Like, that doesn't just happen. That's Jesus ruling in homes that are here and a part of this body. So that's another just memory that I'm going to take with me because I got the... shoot. I got the privilege of I got the privilege of doing ministry with you guys, and it was beautiful. How about you?
What was the question? Memories.
Sorry.
Okay, yes. Mine are less specific, more general. I left my home and my friends and my family to come here, and after 2 years, I was pregnant, and I didn't have the faintest idea. I didn't even want kids, actually, until Lauren sat me down and told me, we're going to be having a family, babe, and I was like, okay. But I didn't know how to have a family. I didn't know how to raise children. I didn't know those things. And the women here at Radiant, I learned how to be a mom. I learned how to be with little people and to live seasonally through stages of childhood. And I was able to do that with... not alone and with joy, because you all were so encouraging. And the women here, they know how to put their children first. And I didn't know how to do that. I actually didn't. I'm more selfish than I am giving by nature. And so to give selflessly to little people is hard work. And I just felt very blessed over these years of raising my kids to be surrounded by women who I could learn from and be encouraged by. And some of my biggest takeaways were from people like Jen May and Eva Langdon, Antique, and along the way, many others, actually. And so I've just been super blessed by a family of women who just know how to give. They know how to give to their children, to their families. So the other thing is the nature of Fairbanks, like you all know, is very transient, and there's comers and goers constantly. And I think that Radiant has a very beautiful way of being able to roll with that and make people family super quick. And I think that is a huge strength here at Radiant, is that they understand that it takes family to live in a place like this. And so when people come in and they're new, you guys grab them. You grab them and you invite them into your homes and you share a meal with them and you share life with them. And all of a sudden, we have new family. And then we do it all again because people leave and then they come. And you guys just roll with those punches. And it's emotionally very draining. Like after 11 years of doing that myself, I'm like, wow, like it is draining to say goodbyes and hellos. And you keep doing it. You keep doing it, and it gives life. It gives life to so many people. There have been so many people who have left Radiant and told me, we're going to do what you guys do when we leave. We're going to go and do GC like you guys do GC when we leave. We're going to go find a place where we can invest with our neighbors like you guys invest with your neighbors in your community. Like, they have been changed by how you guys do family, so...
That's good.
All right. Thank you, guys. The second question is asking specifically, where have you seen God's hand working the most in and through Radiant? How have you seen him, like, I mean, just seeing him, not just seeing the people and the names and the faces, but just seeing, like, no, that's God right there. That's God working right there. So where have you seen that in the Radiant family?
I would say... One of the things that I love so much is that the gospel is going out here every Sunday, and the gospel is impacting people, believers and non-believers, every Sunday. It is a focus on Jesus, and so people are confronted with Jesus on a regular weekly basis in that. But this church didn't stop with that. It didn't stop with, oh, man, that... We got to hear the gospel really well this Sunday, but this church has learned how to live out the gospel together in community throughout the week, and they've taken that serious, and it's a trademark of this church, and I think it's what we're known for in a lot of ways in the community, of just doing it well. And so seeing Jesus impact people's lives through that, seeing how discipleship happens in that communal setting, I mean, it's not perfect. Like, we don't put ourselves together every Wednesday night. Like, people come as they are, and there are tears, and there are some biting that happens that you kind of like, hey, let's talk about this. And, like, we got to work through our junk on a weekly basis. But in the process of that, people are growing closer to the Lord, they're submitting more of their life to Him, and by doing that, they're submitting their lives to other people. And so there's real discipleship that I've seen happen through how we're doing church. Awesome for me to watch is more and more men experiencing sexual purity and freedom from addiction. That is such a big deal. And it's really taken root, and it's not just addition, it's multiplication, as they then help draw people in, other men, to experience sexual freedom in that sense. The women at Radiant, digging into the Word, being in prayer regularly, consistently, has been awesome, awesome to watch. As an elder, to see that happen and take root. And it has paid dividends for us as a whole church because you guys have done that so faithfully. Any thoughts from you?
Yeah, I think a wow factor for me that I've seen over the years where it's just like, wow, that's so God, is the raising up of men to teach the word. I'm wowed by that because you can go, I've been to lots of churches and there's typically one or two. Here, we go through a year and we'll have 12 different people in 1 year stand up here and teach and preach. And I'm like, that is such a God thing, because I think biblically, like, God intends each and every one of you men to teach and preach the word of God. That's his desire. And I see that happening, and it the multiplication of it over the years has been so rad. Like, I've been so blessed to be able to see men say, okay, I'll take a stab at it. And they do, and it's just like, whoa, that is so awesome. Like, we have men who want to do what God is asking of them, even though it's hard. And I just think that is such a God thing. Like, even Lauren, like, you guys do not understand. Like, like, this man went from, like, you said it earlier, like, he went from reading a script word for word on a piece of paper to God saying, hey, by the way, you're not going to do this just once every 6 weeks, you're going to do it every week. And this is a guy who went from, like, and his parents can testify, like, it took him grueling hours and 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 hours to put together just one sermon. Just one. And when he went full time, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is going to destroy him, because he can't put that kind of work into sermon after sermon, week after week. Like, that's impossible for him. And, well, God did something. And that was truly a God thing, because in and of Lauren, like, he's a guy who needs to have, like, things, like, contextualized and, like, internalized and almost less of whooshing. And he's not a guy who can just come up here and just be like, yeah, and let's talk about anything and everything. But he's become that because he had to. And it's because God said, I'll do it. And Lauren's just like, you're going to have to, because I can't. And that's a total God thing. And that's been really cool to see the faithfulness of God there. Yeah, I think the other thing that I think is a real God thing is our children's ministry. I know some of you have been there, up there, and I was able to be up there and get involved in that kind of thing. Oh, you guys, it is just the sweetest thing. Mike has just, the kind of lessons that he's developed over the years for our children is par none, in my opinion. I'm biased, probably, but that's a God thing, that we have a team of people who are that invested and that spiritually discerning to say, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this well. We're going to do this excellent. And I think that's a huge God thing that I've seen here, too.
Awesome. All right, so this last question, the inspiration behind it is the scene in Acts where you've got Paul, who's planted all these churches, he's invested in people's lives, and there's a beach scene where he's pouring into just the leaders of a local church for the last time in many ways. And hopefully this isn't the last time. We'd love to have you guys back up here at some point. But the question is, what words of exhortation or encouragement do you have towards your Radiant family as you head off?
So in just thinking about that question, the thing that came to my mind was treasuring Jesus. The image of the parable of the man who found that treasure and then sold everything he had to gain that. If you, as a people, treasure Jesus, everything's going to be not safe, not easy, but it will be good. you will look back on your life when you have crossed through death's door, and you'll have things to take joy in because you were operating out of a heart that was treasuring Jesus. The thing that's going to get in the way of that is comfort and convenience. And we have to wage war as people in our own souls to not pursue those over treasuring Jesus, but that we would put him at the front and the center, and that we would dig in. And for some of you, I think community has been what you ran towards. And like, once you got community, that was it. And then it's about sustaining it and maintaining it. But if that becomes the bar of Radiant, then we've failed. We do community well, but if community becomes the bar, we've failed. Because it has to be us treasuring Jesus above everything else. That's what's driving us as a church. That's what's pushing us into community on purpose, to contribute and to give. And as we move into this next season, Jesus is going to be asking you to step into new roles. He's going to be asking you to step into serving at different capacities that require you to trust him, that require him to show up for you to be able to do it. Don't be afraid of that. Don't run to comfort and convenience. Push into Jesus, treasure him, not just on a serving level, but on a devotional level. When you have that moment, make time for those moments. Like, make it happen to where you're getting time specifically for him and with anticipation that he's going to show up, that he has something for you, that he loves you enough to make that specific time you carve out unique to you, special to you, that he has words for you because you are his son and daughter. And if you can treasure Jesus like that, then the world can go against you and you will prevail. And the last thing I would say is this. When Caleb left and I stepped into this role, it was so encouraging to have families like the Severns just say, hey, we want you to know we are so committed to you in this. Like, we are in it. And I would encourage you to do the same for the elder team here, to be able to just communicate your love for them, your encouragement for them. They're people too. And it is a real blessing to have a body that speaks into the elders in that way.
We all have our own personal journey with being stewards of God's word. And my personal journey has been one that's been bumpy in being a steward of God's word. And what I mean by steward, I mean by actually being in it and being present with it. It's been an off again, on again relationship in my formative years. And it still can go through seasons of off again, on again. My encouragement to Radiant and myself is to dig deep into God's word. And when, as a young mom and postpartum severe, and then depression set in, I didn't know what to do, and I clinically was diagnosed with depression. And I didn't know what to do with myself, and I prayed hard, and I wasn't sure if I should go on medication or not, and I felt convicted for me that I shouldn't. But then my question was, well, then what, God? And he said, go to my word. And I did, and I don't want to preach. I know I just hit a hot topic. Sorry. That's my personality, too. I like to hit hot topics. this is just me. This is just my personal story. But the word of God healed me. And being in his word consistently, it started off with BSF. And that was for 3 years. And then I very quickly was like, I can't keep doing BSF. I've got to do DNA. There are so many women at Radiant who desire to study the word, and I want to be there with them and do that. And so he promptly provided a DNA of women who wanted to study the word of God. And that's been my constant for years has been DNA, studying the word of God. And I just want to encourage you all to give your soul what it craves. And it craves the word of God. That's what it craves. It craves the word of God. And believe it or not, you all know it, we all know it, that when push comes to shove, it's the first thing to go. It's the first thing to go, is to be in the word of God. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. Hold on to it and crave it. Give your soul what it craves. You've been created to want it and desire it, and let that desire take over and be in the word of God, because that's where your soul wants to be anyway. So just give it over.